Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome into another episode of the Moncton Wildcast Podcast. I am your host, Adam. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Jeremy Boucher. How are you?
Doing very good, Mr. Adam. Thank you again for allowing me into your studio on a weekly basis. We kind of have our eyes peeled. We're not looking into each other's eyes this evening.
Not this week.
Keeping an eye on this hockey game here. So if there's any sudden moments of silence during this episode, we certainly do apologize, and also any cheering or boos or whatever it may be, that is also an apology in advance.
That is correct. It's not often. Actually, I think this is the only time of the year. Yep, this is the only time of the year they've had a game on a Tuesday for us. So that's pretty good average. The Wildcats are in Cape Breton right now. I believe the score is still 0-0 because we haven't seen anything on the screen. So this will be kind of a fun episode. We might be a little distracted. Did you get to your five burgers on Burger Week?
No, I think I've kind of given up on Burger Week, to be honest.
After you called them out.
I don't know if I'm partially responsible for that or not, but they did beast.
We'll take the win.
Something that does resemble much more of a burger, I guess.
Or you're welcome.
Are you welcome? So if it's, I mean, hope anybody's had a chance to try it out. I hope it's, something on a focaccia bun or something like that. Yeah. And now it looks like a legit burger bun, which is a nice change.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's get into some news and notes.
News and notes from around the league.
So, no quick question this week. So, Liam Leonard. Serving one of his games that he was suspended for removing a player's helmet via of a fight. He got one for the removing and one for being a repeat offender. I hate this rule. I don't like it. I understand it. I don't like it.
A bit silly, but you see it so often now that I don't know what they're going to do about it. It might be something they discuss, whatever they have every yep. June at the draft. It does seem like a silly rule, especially, a repeat offender for... taking someone's helmet off just seems, or for it to be removed, just the old school scraps where they literally just threw everything on the ice and started chucking. Obviously, it's different here in junior hockey, but you got to go with what you got in terms of rules, I guess.
And it is a rule, and every fighter knows it. But mm-hmm. I mean, if you go watch our video whether we post on the Wildcats or Wildcast site, or Denny LeBlanc, it kind of looks like Liam Payton undoes his chin strap, and when he goes to grab the jersey, the helmet comes off. It's obviously a tough call for the officials. I mean, you don't know if he's grabbing for the helmet or he's trying to grab the jersey just to get a better grip, but it is what it is. Alexei Lafreniere was suspended 3 games for a check to the head and accumulation of codes. So this is his third, I'm guessing. He had one against Charlottetown and didn't get suspended just before the Canada-Russia series. Mm-hmm. So you can't be doing this when you're rated to go and slated to go number one to,
obvious headshot. But I mean, at the same time, he's showing a different aspect of his game. And he's not just speed and skill. He's trying to prove to everybody else that he can play physical.
That he's got grit.
Yeah, and I think he showed that at the World Juniors. And so it's kind of, I obviously agree with the hit.
Ah, crap.
And it's unfortunate, but at the same time, it's, we'll have to see how Rimouski responds because, they've got obviously games against St. John coming up. And, they proved over the World Junior break that they could play without him. They just have to, prove it here in the second half as well.
Mm-hmm. That aw crap was Sean Element made it 1-0 for Cape Breton. The other suspension that came from that Moncton game against Charlottetown on the island that we'll get to in a little bit. Cole Edwards was suspended for 2 games for a check to the head to Mika Sear. I think that is the bigger issue than fighting. I think that needs to be starting at 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what type of hit, an accident, whatever. I think that is more a pressing issue than trying to get fighting out of the game. Because fighting, for the most part, unless your name's Kachuk, you know that you're going to fight somebody. I had to. Unless you know you're going to fight somebody generally, and the check to the head is a far more egregious offense to me than trying to get fighting out of the game. We need to eliminate the check to the head out of the game.
I agree. I don't think it's going to stop anybody from still doing it. Mm-hmm. It's just like people will say, you know, there shouldn't be any more fighting in hockey. You know, it's if they ban fighting from hockey, it's not going to stop people from fighting.
No.
Right? It's at that point, they're just going to have the suspensions, you know, a lot more automatic game misconduct. If, you know, let's say they do decide to ban fighting eventually, it's going to be an automatic game misconduct instead of penalty, which would be an automatic one-game suspension. So, yeah, it's...
But what's more dangerous to you? Me, it's check to the head. You don't see it coming. The elbow pads now are pure plastic, so they're even, damn it, they're even worse. I mean, I know punching some guy in the head's pretty bad too, but to me, check to the head is worse than fighting.
I guess it depends, because obviously, you know, the if the head bounces off the ice, it's obviously a little more damaging to the head or to the brain. So it's I don't see where they're going to take the checks to the head out of the game. It's, I mean, they're almost illegal anyways, because they almost half of them, you know, three quarters of them, for that matter, end up being suspensions anyways.
Right.
So I don't think we're ever going to see a day where, you know, I don't think we're ever going to see a day where fighting's banned from hockey. I don't think we're going to see a day where check to the heads are banned from hockey. I mean, it's just, we have to live with it. And, you know, we're probably going to see a lot like football, players retiring, you know, earlier than they should be. Like, you've got football players, you know, 29 years old who are retiring from the game because of, you know, all these head injuries and, you know, just their body just can't take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, something that obviously needs to be addressed. You know, whether it be, you know, pretty awesome helmets that have, you know, protects you from the, see where that goes. I'm kind of just rambling on right now. but, you know I guess our food's here now.
It
so
is here. Skip the Dishes.
I did mention last week we were going to order some Skip the Dishes. And depending on how this food goes, we could have it mentioned later on in the show. But let's, we're going to take a quick time out and eat this, or we're going to eat on the go.
We can eat on the go if
all
you
right,
want.
Perfect.
So the other news and notes, I don't know if you saw it, Jamie Tozer tweeted out that a good article today that he got an interesting email on the league sending out a survey about games and the product and if they should lower games in the QMJHL schedule. Now, as far as I know, the QMJHL has always played the lowest amount of games, because I know the WHL played 72, which four games doesn't seem like a lot until you get into the playoffs and things keep going. Did they score again?
No, I don't think so.
It's 2-0 now.
Yeah, they're all over Moncton right now.
Yeah. Element and Logan Camp. So, just your thoughts on move it, keep it at 68, go down to 62, go down to 64. Like, do you think there's too many games?
69 games. So I think that's a pretty solid number. You know, it's not too much. It's not too little. You know, you've kind of got that
usual.
Yeah, it's very unusual. They've had, you know, we very, very strange. But I like 68. I mean, it's a nice even number. It's not too hectic. I remember when it was, I think it was 72, but way back in the day. But it's just just an easier number. And you still got your, I mean, what I would like to see is the training camp, the length of the training camp shortened.
Right.
I mean, you're a month and, you know, over a month before, you know, from the start of the training camp to when the season starts,
maybe like four or five games.
Man, it's just crazy. It's like, I mean, these players report the middle of August, and, you know, the seasons don't start until the 20th of September. It's like a month and a 5-6 week training camp, which that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's something I'd like to see shortened. But no, season.
I think they want to shorten the games because I think they want to get away from the Wednesday, Thursday type travel games for the kids in school and just have like the three games in four nights where you're playing Friday, Saturday, or Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, or Friday, Saturday kind of thing. I don't know. I think if you do it here, you got to do it league wide. Like, it can't just be a QMJHL. Like, all the teams should play the same amount of regular season games before they get into, because there was a few years where, like I said, the WHL was playing 74, and four games doesn't seem like a lot. But the Regina Memorial Cup, I think, Swift Current had played like 97 games or something like that. Or mm-hmm. by the time the tournament was done, it was like 103rd game. So it's just, oh, it's 2-1. Who scored for us?
I think Pelche.
That'll work.
Yeah.
Yep. Pelche from Mikhaizik and Havanov. Nice. Working their way back. You just got to have the same number of regular season, because mm-hmm. I think Bathurst played like 93 up into that point, and because Swift Current went all the seven games, they were at 90 some games. So it's because they had that extra four. So it's an interesting article. We won't ever probably see what the result of the survey was, but let's take a small break here and get into some food.
Yeah, I like
I'm
it.
I'm hungry.
I like it.
All right, hang on. All right, well, that was good. That was, good Lord, that was good.
Yeah, I'm stuffed. Oh, we'll get into our reviews later. Might mention this meal again later on in the show. Spoiler yeah. alert.
All right, so the Wildcats are on a little bit of a run here, winning five in a row, bringing the record to 32-12 for 64 points, keeping them in a lead over the Eagles of 5 points in the Maritime Division for first and second in the East, which would give us a first-round matchup against the Sea Dogs. We'll quickly recap Saturday's game, and then we got a guest joining us. This game was what you expected to see. Two teams going in opposite directions. We've said it many times. If the Wildcats are going to go on the run, they need to go on. They need to handle the teams that are below them in the standings. I don't think anyone predicted an 8-0 victory with eight different goal scorers over the Mooseheads and a Run DLC shutout. But it started off quite slow.
It really did. Yeah. You didn't think it was going to be an 8-0 final score, you know, just after that, you know, those first few minutes. But you know what? I think this team has kind of gotten off to slow starts lately. And, you know, they really have to, you know, clue in that these games are actually 60 minutes in length and not, you know, not 55 or 50.
Or whatever,
yeah, yeah, it's it seems to be kind of a trend, and it's a little concerning. You know, and yeah, they're on a nice run, but at the same time, if we see any sort of negatives, we're going to point it out, and that's something that I've noticed over, you know, the past few games is they're not coming out of the gate like they should, and that needs to be addressed. And you know, well, I know we'll mention it. You know, on this Saturday night, was it back-to-back?
Yep.
Yeah.
Saturday, Sunday.
Right, Saturday, Sunday. It was, you kind of saw a little bit of the same. And you know, these games, I'm not going to say the Halifax game could have been of a different outcome. But, you know, Halifax got some quality chances to start the game. And, you know, Lund Cornish made some big saves early on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, those... If any of those, you know, goals went in or shots went in, I think it's a different story. You know, Halifax gets a little bit of momentum and you know, kind of rides it, you know, later on in the game, excuse me. But, no, I mean, Moncton just responded the way they, you know, way you expect. It's nice to finally get some wins against Halifax because they kind of had our number in the past. And, you know, it's just kind of expected. Excited myself to go down to Halifax in March to watch that last regular season game.
On Sportsnet,
yeah. I'll be sure to bring my sign. You know. But no, it's you know, these teams, you know, with the exception of a couple years, it's unfortunate that Moncton and Halifax don't really kind of have the same cycle where, you know, they're contenders 1 year.
Yeah.
And they can't seem to get their years aligned, because I think that would really bring back the rivalry if these two teams kind of both loaded up at the same time and had a chance to win the championship. A lot like 2010 when it was, you know, Moncton against St. John for the President's Cup. You know, a Moncton Halifax President's Cup would be just
delightful.
Yeah, just unbelievable. Hey, maybe we'd see the return of the Herdcast, because they seem to disappear after the Mooseheads lose some games. So That's kind of an unfortunate part. I think it would, the rivalry is still there, but the, just the compete level on both sides, not there.
And the fan bases too.
Yeah. Like the fan base,
they brought a fan bus, but you didn't, weren't nearly as, I mean, when they're getting beat 4-5, 6-0 there in the second period, it was goal, goal, goal real quick. It's pretty hard for Moose fans to be up in arms for their team and stuff like that. So it's weird that both Moncton just can't get on the same cycle with St. John, with Halifax, their province rival and arguably their biggest hockey rival. But I mean, you don't want to hear us. I mean, you do want to hear us talk about it because that's what you tune in for. But right now we have a very special guest joining us. He's a play-by-play voice of the Halifax Mooseheads since the 2017-2018 season, Gareth McDonald. Gareth, how are you tonight?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Oh, you know, hanging in, talking hockey on a Tuesday night.
Okay. You can't beat that, right?
No, that's the fun part of this gig. So, obviously, we were just catching everyone up on the victory on victory for us, I guess, on Saturday. So, I guess, just what were your thoughts? I mean, obviously, the second half isn't the way you'd script it and want it to go, but it's a bit of a trying season. But just your thoughts on the team so far?
Yeah, I mean, that was a tough one, to put it lightly. I mean, I would say certainly on paper, bit of a mismatch, right? I mean, you look at that Moncton team right now after the moves, you know, bringing over two of the greatest Mooseheads of all time in Bo Grew and then Jared McIsaac. I mean, what is it, five second rounders now from the NHL draft. You got Peltier, a first rounder, Havana, who, you know, could go on to be one of the biggest steals that 2018 draft, taken in the third round. I mean, it's a pretty impressive lineup in Moncton right now, and I think on Saturday, certainly a bit of a mismatch for sure. And you know, the Moncton boys, the firepower, they came to play on Saturday night, and a real tough night there for the Mooseheads after what was a pretty good game on Thursday against Gatineau. A tough one, I think, that this Moncton team, and in the second half, they're going to do some damage for sure.
So we've had about 10 and 11 games with Grew and McIsaac, respectively. Just for the fans who, you know, maybe are tuning into the show for the first time but haven't been to the rink, just give us a – because we've seen them play against us, but you don't really focus on them. So you've seen them night in and night out for 3 years now since they were – I guess 2 years since you've been in the broadcast booth. Just what are these kids going to bring us come March, April – and hopefully in Kelowna in May.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're the kind of players that you end up with. You know, they're both ultra competitive. They're competitors. I think it's an old hockey cliche. I think that both Bo and Jared are warriors. You know, these are guys. When you look at just, you know, this past year, you know, back to the President Cup playoffs, the semifinal against Drummondville. You know, Mo manages to battle his way back from mono and goes on to be a real X factor in that series against the Voltigeur, and you know, put in a pretty terrific showing in that as well, obviously against Rouen in the final, and then the Memorial Cup as well. So I think that speaks a lot to his character. And Jared, it's a similar thing. He battles through injuries all of last year, and you know, ultimately has to have some off-season shoulder surgery in June. And he's a guy that really had his heart set on making that World Junior team. And, you know, to crack that lineup, to grind away, you know, to grind the way that he did down in Detroit, to get himself back into shape and ready to play. Despite playing in just, I think it was three Q-League games, he ends up going out to crack that World Junior team. I think that just kind of speaks to the character and grit of both of those players. And, you know, I think that's obviously something that they're going to bring to this Moncton lineup. And certainly this Moncton team right now, they do have their eyes set on some championships. So I think these are, you know, two big pieces that will help in that pursuit. And I mean, Bo is he's a coach's son, right? His father Benoit was you know, a terrific coach in the queue. He's gone on to coach in the AHL. Probably will be an NHL coach in not so distant future. So he gets the hockey pedigree. Honest, the details of his game, they are there. He is another cliche 200-foot player. I think that is Bo Grew. He is he's the definition of a 200-foot player. Just does everything so well. May not have the offensive flair that we have seen from superstars in Halifax over the last the last decade. May not be quite that offensive, blow you away skill set. But I think he just does everything so great that it makes him such a complete player. And Jared, so mobile, just an effortless skater, just moves the puck so well. Power play quarterback, but the defensive side of this game, pretty underrated. I think he's one of the best penalty killers in the queue. So, he's a total package, too. You got yourself two studs there.
Yeah, it definitely does seem like that. And, we're pretty happy to have them. But on the topic of, we're going to talk Halifax here, too. Did you expect, the Mooseheads to, I'm not going to call it a complete sell-off, but pretty close to it. Did you expect them to move, the likes of Grew, Mikhaizik, Lavoie, and Kite at the trade deadline? Or, what was your kind of your outlook on the season, in September?
Yeah, I think if you look back to the beginning of the year, and you look back to August and that Hockey Canada World Junior Showcase, and we mentioned Mikhaizik being injured, but at that event, the Mooseheads were the most well represented team from the CHL. I think they had five players at that event. So if you have five players that could potentially be on the World Junior team, you should be a team. You would think that is a team that's going to be, really competitive. Once the season gets going. But I think that there was so much turnover on this Mooseheads team after the Memorial Cup and after that playoff run last year. There were so many 19-year-olds on the team last year that, outside of those guys, it was just a fresh, brand new slate of players, basically. So, there's so many rookies on the Mooseheads this year. There were free agent signings out of Ontario. Just a lot of guys that had never played in the leagues before. So, you kind of have two extremes on the team in that you've got these guys that are superstars in the queue and a lot of guys that are still just trying to find their way in the league. And that takes time. And I think that, so that's kind of like one part of it. And then, you look at the way that the Mooseheads, the way that team was built last year, not a lot of picks, not a lot of picks left over. No first rounder this year. They didn't pick until the fourth round, or last year, pardon me, the 2019 Q draft. They didn't draft until the fourth round. They don't have, they didn't have their first round pick here in 2020. Didn't have one in 2021. So, when you start to take those factors into consideration, yeah, I think that heading into the season, it did have a bit of a weird feel. And I kind of felt like this was, this was the only real option ultimately. So, I guess that's a long-winded way of answering your question and saying, I wasn't really surprised in a way. I think it was kind of the only option that, that Cam Russell had come that trade period.
Now, one player that didn't get moved was Alexi Gravel. In his case, do you see that as just a there was no contending teams that needed a number one goaltender, or is that more of Chicago hasn't signed him yet? He could come back and be a 20-year-old goalie for us next season.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both for sure. I think that the market is what it is, and I'm sure if there was just, with everything else taken into consideration, all the other moves that were made, I'm sure if there was a great offer on the table that maybe we could have seen Alex Gravel traded as well. And, obviously, it would seem to me that deal wasn't there. He is a guy that isn't signed. Like you said, he could potentially be back in the league next year. And a lot of those other teams, you know, the Chicoutimis, your Sherbrookes, Moncton, of course, with Rodrigue, a lot of the contending teams right now, that they have goaltending, right? So it would seem to me that the some of those other contending teams, they weren't willing to pay the price. And, you know, I think that probably to start this season, Alex's numbers, they probably weren't exactly where he would have liked them to be. I think that the good part is here, that coming down the stretch in the second half, having a tandem like Alex Gravel and Cole McLaren, there are a couple of goalies that are going to give the Mooseheads an opportunity to compete in most games. And I think if you look back over the last couple of weeks, you look back to that game in Victoriaville, 2-1 shootout win for the Mooseheads a couple of weeks ago to start their Quebec road trip. I think that Alex Gravel played maybe one of his best games of the season, just very in control. And I think he's a guy that right now I think is playing for a contract. So I hope to see him signed. I'm getting my fingers crossed here that he'll have a big second half.
So we talked about a little bit, it's too bad that Moncton and Halifax can't get their cycles kind of on the same years. And a lot of teams, when they talk about staying competitive, they talk about the London model. And I've said since I come out here with this podcast, like it's the Halifax model. They continue to be good every year and they build properly. Obviously this isn't a good year, but are fans, do you see the excitement around the rink for guys, you know, they're your defense core with Keegan Hunt and Wynot and draft eligible Justin Barron, you know, Barinka, Dubé, do you see, are fans obviously accepting of this and understanding what's coming and what's coming down the pipe with some good young players?
Yeah, I think so. I think that that's, you know, I mean, you kind of mentioned it there, just being at the rink. The fans that are there, I think that they are the ones that get it, right? Halifax is a big hockey town. The hockey fan base here is very educated. I think if you're using social media as your barometer, you might get a different reading on things. But I don't think social media is ever a very good barometer on most issues. I think that you know, the fan base in Halifax is educated. The Mooseheads have been around for a quarter of a century, so you know the fans that have been around since day one, they know what it's all about. This is junior hockey. It is cyclical. You know, there's going to be rebuilds. They're not going to be exactly easy for anyone. But I mean, you look at a player. You mentioned Cam Wynot. He's a guy that, now that some of those moves have been made, I think he's really been stepping up and coming to his own in the queue. And, you know, I think having an elevated role, a promoted role on the depth chart, he's responded to that. So I think that, you know, a player like that, a guy that was, I believe, the top-ranked defenseman heading into the key draft last year in Quebec City, he's a guy that's got a boatload of potential, and we barely scratched the surface on that right now. So certainly a player right there that fans can be excited about. And I mean, you mentioned Justin Barron. I fully expect Barron at some point. He's just such a great kid, phenomenal kid, that hopefully we'll see him where we're going to see. It's a little disappointing that he's all he's banged up right now dealing with that blood clot out indefinitely. But hope to see him back in the lineup real soon. Just great player and definitely a thrill to watch.
Before you joined the Mooseheads, correct me if I'm wrong, you're with Dalhousie Tigers as their play-by-play. Am I right when I say that?
Yes, I did. Dal Tigers play-by-play for a few years. Yes.
Before you joined the Mooseheads, I thought maybe that the voice sounded familiar. So, but you know, obviously your experience with Hugh Sports and now in the queue, you know, the players say that speed's the biggest difference. As a play-by-play guy, what do you see the difference as between the two levels?
Yeah, I think it's definitely speed, and the other part would be probably the physicality. I know that I think that the game, even at the NHL level, has changed so much, even in just the past 3 or 4 years, right? It seems like there's a lot less physical play than there was, you know, just less than a handful of seasons ago, basically. But definitely, you know, at the AUS level, a lot of those guys, the majority of them, have you know, they have junior hockey experience. They are guys that had junior hockey careers, be it in the Q or the OHL or the Western League. And, you know, now you've got them 4 or 5 years older at points, right? So they're guys that, you know, they still have that speed that they had at the junior level, but now they've filled out and they've become men. So I think there can certainly be a bit more physicality at the university level for sure.
So just to wrap this up, obviously every team wants to win a championship. That's their goal, but you're kind of in a rebuilding year. So what's the goal of this team moving forward? Just developing, and if you make the playoffs, great. Let's surprise, or is it just keep developing and whatever happens, happens?
Yeah, well, I think it's, you know, it's certainly all about development right now. It's a young team. So I think that, you know, wins, they may be tough to come by here in the second half, but at the same time, it's a great opportunity for guys to try to solidify a spot in the lineup for next year, right? Because there will be a lot of opportunities, a lot of chances there to make that lineup. You know, there's the roster, it would be far from set for 2020-2021. So, yeah, I mean, the rest of the season, I would say it's an evaluation period. And, you know, I would say that, you know, this team, they will be looking ahead to next year, certainly making the playoffs and, you know, going up. I mean, you look at where they're potentially going to come in. I think that the cards will be stacked against them. Right now, if things are to play out the way that they look like they could, I mean, the top 4 or 5 teams in the league, they are juggernauts right now. So I think the Mooseheads would have their work cut out for them in the playoffs, but hey, that's great experience as well, right? For a young team, it's certainly in the midst of a rebuild right now.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Halifax saw it last year being number one, and they went to 7 with a young upstart Quebec team. So they know that damage can be done. They were one game away. So now they get to play spoiler for sure. But we don't want to take too much of your time. We really appreciate having you on, Gareth.
No, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Hey, you guys too. Take care.
That was good. It's always good to get another voice of a Q team. And he's not wrong. It's about, we're going to be in this situation next year, right? Or basically the exact same situation.
Oh, yeah.
Next year.
Yeah, for sure. I guess it all depends on, you know, who's back next season. You know, because, you know, the indication is that there's going to be some players traded away at the draft to, you know, specific teams to make up for the moves that were made at Christmas year. So definitely going to have a new look, different look team. Obviously, we'll still have some, you know, some pieces to dangle, but... Yeah, we're kind of in the same situation as Halifax. It's, you know, the probably get off to a decent start maybe in the first half next year, and mm-hmm. and then you know, the second half next season could be a little different. So it's, you know, at the same time you hope you know, we've got a team that's, you know, that are, you know, some well connected individuals within the organization who could, you know, bring in some you know, some free agents who could, you know, making an immediate impact, and, you know, maybe next season isn't as bad as some people, you know, are saying it's going to be. So it's, you know, right now I think we're just, you know, focused on the, you know, the great team that we have, and, you know, go as long as we can.
So getting into the final game of the weekend, last weekend, it was a Maritime Division battle, and it lived up to the billing. It was feisty, 2 fights, which I guess I would both call draws. Hudson and Casey in the first, and good Lord, was Hudson just feeding them.
that was a good fight.
Both of them were just swinging.
I was hoping that would be the highlight of the night, but clearly a little too violent to be to get that reward.
They went to the game, they just didn't exactly go to the fight. And then the second period, it was Liam squared as Liam Leonard and Liam Payton kind of went at it. I think that one's been... that one might have carried over from the Bathurst days. I'm not 100% sure. But, I mean, the Wildcats came away with a 4-0 victory. Rodrigue was in net for back-to-back shutouts. The line combos, they were very different over the weekend. I wrote them down. somewhere in here. They just, I think the biggest surprise for everyone was LaRue on the fourth line.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I get it. But at the same time, I think there's, I think there could be a spot for him on the, in the top six. Obviously that would mean that, you know, right now we have a pretty ridiculous top six, but, someone would have to drop down, which is why I say I get it. And it, I don't want to break up that third line either. Like that Dinwiddie, Daou and Hudson line is, yep. is, you know, has some great chemistry right now. They're probably one of the best lines, on the team. For the past few games, but you need to get LaRue in the lineup because he's one of your better players.
Is it a point of game as a rookie? And I think maybe we got a little bit spoiled. If this was not a Memorial Cup year and this was the kind of team we had, you know, he probably wouldn't be on the fourth line. But where do you, who drops down, right? Like, I mean, if you ask these guys, they don't care where they play as long as they're winning.
Yeah.
It's a standard hockey answer. I'm sure LaRue isn't exactly thrilled with being on the fourth line. And I wondered after the Halifax game when I was on Instagram, I wondered if it was maybe a, you know, get him playing a little defense. I mean, he was a healthy scratch at home against St. John. He played in St. John, and then he was on the fourth line. So I think this is probably the best lineup for depth. Like, They're loaded on the top six, but it also allows you to have depth in your bottom six with that third line. But I mean, Sarah McKenna, I think Chris said it to us. I think that experiment's over. Like, you got to put them together.
I mean, you would think so. Obviously, I don't. Sarah McKenna aren't together tonight. They haven't been together.
They were basically the same lineup as it's been the past three games.
I don't think you're going to see Sarah McKenna back. I really think they like the feel of, you know, the Pelche, Havanov, and McKenna line, because, you know, McKenna was in that slump and he seems to have gotten out of it, which was huge. He had a couple big games, and I like the look of that, you know, the Sear Grew and Forche line. But you know, if you wanted to get LaRue into the top six, I mean, I think Sear is probably the candidate to go down to the third line. That's kind of, you know, when I drew up my lines, and I had Sear on the third line. So that was, I mean,
we should then put Daou on the fourth line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which
it was just to get LaRue into the top six. I mean, I would start giving him a little bit of power play time. As long as they're winning, I don't see any reason to change it up.
I mean, it's hard to argue with this team was kind of snake bitten in St. John games. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they've got 12 goals in two games. It's pretty hard to argue with the combos, but it's just, you don't often see, and it speaks to the depth of what they've acquired and what they still had, that a point a game rookie is on the fourth line and can do a lot of damage playing against third and fourth lines from other teams, right?
No, well, there's absolutely nothing wrong. You know, most 16-year-olds in this league are playing on the bottom, you know, the bottom six. So it's nothing wrong with it, right? It's at the end of the day, LaRue is like you said earlier, just happy to be part of the team.
Yeah.
And you know, as long as we keep winning, I don't think he cares where he is in the lineup.
Nope.
And same thing with, you know, with you good guys who are probably not going to see a lot of ice time in the second half, and they probably don't care either, because they know how this team looks and. You know, how far it could possibly go in the playoffs. So, I mean, as long as they know, you know, who to play with who, you know, I'm not calling out the team or anything like that. It's, there's, you know, I think we're in a good spot. And it's just, you know, it's way too early to start. Maybe I was getting a little ahead of myself a few weeks ago when I said I didn't like the lines.
I don't know. You're accustomed to seeing lines and guys playing with certain guys for 2 years, it's tough to, you know, get used to seeing, you know, Forche come in and grew with McKenna and Forche with Sear. And it's just like, well, this was working for 2 years. Why are you moving it? But I mean, it's tough to argue when the team's winning hockey games, right?
Exactly. You can't really, I mean, I'm going to, you know, we're winning. I'm not going to make any, you know, I'm not going to call out anybody. It's way too early for that. You know, just keep winning. And, you know, I think it's the results will be there. Yeah, I think, you know, they're in a bit of a battle right now against Cape Breton. So, and this is, you know, you look at the standings. This is a big game, right? I think if I haven't looked recently, but if Cape Breton wins, they're 3 points behind Moncton. But if Moncton wins, they're 7 points ahead of Cape Breton.
Yeah.
So it's a 4-point game. So it's, you know, it's absolutely massive in the standings right now, because these two teams probably faced each other another two or three times to go before the rest of the season. If I'm not, you know, if
no, I think this is the, they got one more at the end of March.
Okay. Well, there you go.
So this is like, if Moncton gets this, they put it out of reach, but they win the season series for sure. 7 points is a lot to come.
Mm-hmm.
Come back so from, right?
I think that's, you know, the first period wasn't great, and I think that was kind of probably the message in the locker room is, you know, we need these 2 points, and you know, I wouldn't say they had the edge in the first period, because they, you know, they're down by, you know, 3-2, but you know, they certainly led in shots 17-9, so kind of tells you that you know, the scoreboard was leaning one way, the shots clock was leaning the other.
Yep. And it's nice to see a backup, and like, not that they never had faith in Lavallee, who we'll talk about here in a minute, but to give Rodriguez a night off, we're gonna see that a lot more. I think, like I said on the Instagram, you can't run him 17 straight games. There's no need. It's all about, we're gonna make the playoffs. It's all about seeding. DLC can more than handle the load. So. So yeah, we were watching it. It was glitching out. I don't know if that's the internet, but whatever.
It can't be the internet. You have Rogers here.
That
so.
Is true. Hashtag yeah. Not a sponsor. So it's, as of right now, it's 3-2 for the Eagles with, midway through the second period. So we'll look ahead to, Friday, and probably one of the most talked about Wildcats in the past year and a half, Charles Antoine Lavallee and the Shawinigan Cataract make their debut in Moncton this season. They added Trepanier at the deadline. I mean, they've got your rookie of the year, Ponomarev, Maverick Bork. I mean, this was a team holding on to the seventh spot in the West. They're a little disappointing, no?
I definitely saw them to be a little higher up.
Division, right?
Yeah, a little higher up in the standings. I'm not sure exactly what's going on here, but you know, they're more a team that's built for. I think they're built for next year and the year after that. So, you know, I wasn't expecting them to do a substantial amount of damage, but I did expect them to have a better year this year.
You kind of thought they'd be where Drummondville is, and Drummondville would be, right, like
yeah.
Up in that kind of range.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a surprise. So it's just one of those teams where, you know, you don't want to look down to them, and, you know, you don't want to get off to a bad start. You want to, you know, come out firing and, you know, hopefully put a few goals. I'm hoping they start Charles Antoine Lavallee.
Well, they play in Charlottetown on Thursday, and then okay. They come here Friday. So,
I think it would be a little silly if they didn't start at Lavallee, but I think at the same time it would. I mean, when Bay Como was in town a couple of weeks ago, they didn't have they didn't put Hébert in the lineup.
No,
They sat Hébert. They sat Perron.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a little silly because, you know, they're playing against it. And the team that drafted them, you know, the former team. And I just think it would be – I think Lavallee kind of has I think he wants this game.
Yeah.
And so I'll be surprised if he's not starting for Shawinigan.
And then Saturday, the Islanders come across the bridge again. I mean, it's pretty much going to be exactly like the game we saw. I mean, these two teams just don't like each other. I would imagine we'll see Welsh, because I would think Gooby would play against Shawinigan. But
Gooby!
But who knows? You know, we know what to expect from Charlottetown. They know what to expect from Moncton. So it's not like there's a whole lot of surprises when these two teams meet, although there is the animosity between these two teams. So it should be a fun weekend. I think Moncton should come away with four points on the weekend, but the division battle is always tough because the Islanders are trying to get home ice. They're, I think, Oh, I missed. Got rid of it here. Standings. I think they're 3 or 4 points behind. Yeah, 6 points behind Cape Breton. So they're going to want to keep going to try and get home ice. And what a first round series that would be again. So yeah. So I expect Moncton to get the 4 points out of this, but I wouldn't be shocked if they if the Islanders come in, because they've had some success here in Moncton. But it's that time of the show again. Fans know it. They love it.
No, well, let's the tickets. We're going to do the
tickets. Oh, right.
We're going to do the tickets.
It wasn't on the show, Doc. My bad. You go ahead.
We're going to do the tickets.
The tickets. All so the tickets. We're giving
this,
away
this
tickets.
This guy right here, your favorite co-host, will not be attending Saturday night's game against... I know. I'm sick and tired of watching these Charlottetown Islanders.
You just knew that Jake and his wife were coming over, so you're like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I got to go.
Yeah. So I will not be attending Saturday night's hockey match. Saturday afternoon, actually.
Yeah, 4 p.m. start.
4 p.m. So I'm going to be I'm going to give away my my two tickets, trivia style. So I have a quick question here, and these answers can be forwarded to Adam at our at Moncton Wildcast Twitter account. They can also be sent to the Instagram account, which I believe is the same thing.
Yep.
So the question is this. Prior to Dakotalon Cornish wearing jersey number 1, name the previous Wildcats goaltender and the season that number 1 was worn last, if that makes sense. So who was the last goaltender and what season was it when jersey number 1 was worn? So you have until... let's say Friday at 5 p.m. to forward us your answers. Here's a hint. You have to go back quite a ways. So do your searching, and good luck. So again, who was the last goaltender, and in what season was jersey number 1 worn prior to Dakotalon Cornish? That is your trivia question.
And
also a hint.
Don't ask me on the social medias, because... I got no idea.
Also a hint. This player's sister was on the U.S. Olympic women's hockey team.
All right.
That's also your hint.
Those are all the hints you get, so that's fun. But again, yeah, don't ask me. I'll have this clip on I'll post it on the social medias, so just hit us up. That's an excellent question. That's a tough one. So Friday at 5?
Friday at 5 p.m. is the deadline.
All right. Now, let's get to everyone's favorite time of the show.
Eric Murray Realty. Buy a house from him.
Stick tap of the week.
So yes, earlier in the show we mentioned we were eating. We took a quick time out to devour our food. So this stick tap of the week does go to A, Skip the Dishes, and B, George, C, Classic Burger. So yeah, we did order Skip the Dishes and ordered from Classic Burger, and George was our delivery driver. For me personally, I had the Kansas City burger with fries, which was a monstrosity. Pulled pork, coleslaw, burger. It was delicious. I was actually surprised, considering it was delivered, how warm the burger was when it was delivered. And the fries, I mean, fries, you know, if I could eat a, you know, I don't eat many fries to begin with. So, but yeah, the Classic Burger's got this excellent seasoning for their fries. Honestly, I think it was like cocaine in it or something like that, because it's super addicting. But yeah, so my personally, I'm gonna stick tap to George. George from Stick the Dishes.
Skip the dishes. Hashtag not a sponsor.
Yeah, and Classic Burger also hashtag not a sponsor.
Yeah.
For this excellent delivered meal that we had this evening, and it was quick too. It was very fast. We ordered it just before we recorded, and then it was here about, 10, 15 minutes in, which was nice. So, yeah, highly recommend, Skip the Dishes. Obviously, they're going to be busier on a Friday, Saturday night. So if you're going to use it, maybe a Monday or Tuesday is your best bet.
No doubt they're going to be busy this Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
I had the Ho Aloha burger, grilled pineapple, smoked ham, cheese, bacon, honey mustard sauce. Just like Jeremy, you know. Came nicely packaged. It was good and warm.
That's what she said.
Layla had the the kids chicken nugget combo. Good presentation.
Chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets. Yeah.
It's not a very adult meal.
She's not very much an adult. It got here quick. Good portion size. Best part came with a cookie. So she won the meals because she got a cookie. So, it was, I thank you for that wonderful idea, bro.
Yeah, you're welcome.
The Stick Tap of the Week, sponsored by Eric Murray Real Estate with the RE/MAX Avante team. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the greater Moncton or surrounding area, make sure to check him out on social media or give him a call at 506-863-8802.
So that brings us to the Pump House Brewery Cat of the Week. And once again, I am in agreement with the Wildcats. We talked about it last week, how, you know, when are they going to get him going? Once he got one, he was going to get a few. So the Brewery Cat of the Week is Summerside Sniper Jeremy McKenna. You know, he scored in back-to-back games, had two assists in those games, 6 points in two games over the weekend. He was the second star versus the Moose and the first star at home versus the Island. The Pump House Brewery Cat of the Week is the Summerside Sniper Jeremy McKenna. Well, that's it. Again, thank you for downloading, listening. Stay tuned again. In the coming weeks, we're going to have some more tickets to give away. Don't forget to get your tickets to this Friday and Saturday's game versus Shawinigan and Charlottetown, respectively. Don't forget to answer our trivia question to win tickets to that game at 4 p.m. on Saturday, which a little weird that it's a 4 p.m. game on a Saturday.
Yeah, that was unexpected. Totally forgot about that. So, yes, trivia question one more time.
Yep.
Who is the last goalie in Wildcats history to wear jersey number one? And in what season was it? So this is prior to Dakota Lund Cornish. And the hint again was, this goaltender's sister was a former member of the U.S. women's hockey team. Hmm. Olympics. There's your hint.
No idea. All right. As well, Sunday's a big day. It's the Wildcats Skills Competition at noon at Brian Dobson Arena. It is free to the public. Free public skate from 11 to 11:45, and then the skills start at noon. I ask you, kind sir, who's your pick for fastest skater? We'll just do that event. Mika Seer won last year, so.
Before I even say this, did you see Ed Belfour's mugshot?
No.
Oh, my God. So he was arrested for mischief and intoxication charges. It is quite the mugshot.
Yep. Everyone out there, go Google Ed Belfour mugshot.
Belfour had been drinking and attempted to fight a hotel employee before trying to force his way into the hotel spa.
Because why wouldn't you?
Belfour was found on the floor clutching a curtain rod that had been ripped out of the drywall above the window nest to him and kicking the door to the spa. All right, that's pretty neat.
That's going to lead into my final announcement on this show. But fastest skater.
Fastest skater?
Yeah. Mika Seer won it last year, I do believe.
I'll have to give it to him again.
I'll go with Jordan Spence.
Okay. I'll go. I don't know if he's going to be in the competition or not, but I'll go with Dawu.
Yeah.
Because he seems that he has some wheels.
Some sneaky, some hidden sneaky wheels. Speed.
So if he's in the competition, I'll go with Dawu. Maybe I'll actually get something right about him this year.
Also, if you're going to that event, make sure to write down the winners. Just kind of keep in your mind or write them down. I think I'm going to have a trivia question based on the skills competition for those Rimouski tickets on February 19th. So, keep those in mind. Super Bowl this Sunday, 49ers Chiefs. We both whiffed on our preseason predictions.
You mean the Browns aren't playing in the Super Bowl?
No, they shockingly aren't. 49ers Chiefs, who do you pick?
I know a lot of people are going with the Chiefs, but I'm going to go with my boy Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah,
Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
Jimmy G.
Defense wins championships, and I think that 49ers defense controls the game. I think the 49ers win that. Tomorrow is a very important day, or I guess today when you read this or listen to this, or yesterday when you download this. Wednesday, January 29th is a very important day. It's Bell Let's Talk Day tomorrow. Bell will donate money towards mental health initiatives in Canada. 5 cents for every text, call, tweet, social media video view. They've got a Facebook frame, they've got a Snapchat filter. So whatever you tweet, whatever you text, just put Bell Let's Talk in that. It's one of those things where I mean, you don't think it happens to you until it happens to you. And mental health is no joke. You know, it's something that I've dealt with a few times and am dealing with right now. So
I think there's, I mean, you'd be lying if you said you didn't have, you know, a personal experience, right?
Yep.
Like it's, I think everybody can say that they've had,
yep.
You know, times in their lives where, you know, they felt down and, you know, this is kind of the reason, you know, why this day is around. So, you know, I may work for the competitor, but, you know, I think it's, something great that, you know, the Bell does every year. And, you know, it's not just, every, you know, not just one day a year that, that you should, you know, have these conversations. You yep. know, it's, you know, if you know anybody that's, you know, not feeling great or feeling down or, you know, could use a pick me up, you know, just, you know, send them a message, talk to them and you know what, there's help out there for anybody that's going through anything.
You're not too cool to get help. So we've all needed it. Thanks again. And we will see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.